Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, when I spoke to you last, about 3 weeks ago, I think, you may remember, of course you remember because you never forget anything I tell you, that I was using the illustration of a teapot and explaining how from that illustration revival broke out in the church where I was pastor then back in 1970. And if you remember, the pot represented your life. The whole pot belongs to the Lord because he purchased you for God. And the pot had a lid, and obviously God could not pour into the pot what he wanted to pour while the lid was in place, so the lid had to be removed. And the lid represented three things: sin, fear, and doubt. And what we did then, and I trust what you have done since I brought that message, is that we gave all the sin, all the fears, all the doubts to the Lord. And then we gave him the whole pot, spirit, soul, and body, in order that he might fill us to overflowing with his life. So this week the pot is replaced by a jug, because the jug has no lid. And so what God wants is for you to keep your life under the waterfall of his love and power. Because Jesus says that from deep within you it's to flow out rivers of living water. Now, the thing is that if you put this pot under the waterfall and kept it there just for a little while, it would be overflowing. But as soon as you removed it, it would stop overflowing. It would still be full, but it couldn't overflow. So it can only overflow while you keep it under the anointing, the pouring forth of God's life that he wants to keep pouring into us. Now, what I didn't speak about those few weeks ago was the motive that God gave us for actually surrendering our lives so fully and wholeheartedly to him. Because it was that full surrender that enabled the revival to take place. Why doesn't the church or churches everywhere live in constant revival? Because there isn't that same surrender to the Lord. Surrender is so often superficial, partial. We have caveats, we hold back part of ourselves. And I made it very clear to the people then that we couldn't cheat on God, that we couldn't hold back anything from him whatsoever, because he would be aware of that. So there was this full surrender, and I know that there was that full surrender in every member of the congregation, because I prayed personally through that surrender with every person. So the measure you give is the measure you get. But you see, if you do give yourself wholeheartedly to the Lord, what do you get back? A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And that's what God's purpose is. So what was the motive? The motive was saying to everybody that what God wanted to do was to give them a kingdom. That God's purpose for every person, really, is to give them the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. That God wanted them to receive that kingdom now. And that kingdom is expressed in the overflowing life that God wants to impart. So we've been going through Luke's gospel, and Luke's gospel is full of good revelation about the kingdom. Jesus said to the disciples, Fear not, little flock. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. And he said to the disciples, you can't say the kingdom is over here or over there, because the kingdom of God is within you. So the reason why we need to keep our pots under the waterfall of God's love and power is so that we will overflow with the kingdom life of God. Now, this morning, we're going to see what that means in practice. Obviously, it means we're going to overflow with God's life, with Jesus' life, with the life of the Spirit. But if we're talking about the kingdom, we're not talking about a place, as Jesus said. You can't say it's over there or over here. The kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom, if you actually translate the Greek word literally, it means the reign of God, the rule or the reign of God. Our queen has reigned on the throne of this land for many years now. You can't see her reign, but you know that the fact that she reigns gives her a certain position and authority. That comes out of the fact that she has been given the authority and actually the anointing from God to reign. And she takes her reign in the name of Jesus very seriously. Now, we are all called to reign, not in the temporal sense in which the queen reigns, but in the spiritual sense. So God's purpose for you is to what the scripture calls to reign in life. So if you reign, you are exercising authority. You know your position, you know your standing, you know your status, you know that you are submitted to the authority of the one who reigns over you. But you know also that he has given you the authority to reign over what he has placed beneath you. And because the scripture says that he has placed everything under the feet of Christ, then because we live in him, we have the authority over everything that the Father has placed Jesus over. But of course, we have to believe that we have that authority. If you don't believe you have authority, you can't use it. But even if we believe we have it, we still have to use it. We still have to exercise it daily in our lives. And we're going to see what that means. Now, you know, for years I've used this illustration of the three chairs representing something a little bit different from what Pastor Clive was using a little while ago. This is your body, your soul, and your spirit. Now, I put my jacket on there just to signify that once you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. God is spirit, so he can only live in your spirit. Now, your soul is your self-life, your mind, your ability to think, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings, and your will, your ability to make decisions. The Holy Spirit doesn't live in your soul. He lives in your spirit. But what he wants to do is to impact your soul. He wants the life that he pours into you to impact your soul life, so that your soul life is under the influence of the Spirit. So here you have the mind of Christ. Here you have your natural mind. But he wants the mind of Christ to influence your thinking here in your soul. Here you have the witness of the Holy Spirit. Here you have your own emotions and feelings, your natural feelings. But he wants the witness of the Spirit to dominate over your natural feelings, so that you do not live according to your feelings, but you live by faith in what the Holy Spirit is saying and witnessing to you in whatever situation you're placed. Here you have the will of God. Here you have your own human will. Jesus, of course, had a soul life totally like you. And you remember he had to pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And he said, I haven't come to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. So the will of God needs to be here so that it's expressed in our soul life. Now, here is your body. Now, your body, of course, is to express this life. So that which begins in your spirit is to impact your soul and then to be expressed in your body and then to pour out as rivers of living water so that all those around you get impacted by Jesus. Now, that's fine. That's how it should work. However, there are adverse things that go against that. One of those things is what you do with your body. Because Jesus says, your eyes are the light of your body. So you set your focus on unclean things, immoral images, violent images, things that are alien to the purpose of God, and that will bring darkness into your soul. It's no use sitting there saying, no, I can cope with those images. They will bring darkness into your soul because Jesus says so. I don't care what you say, Jesus says that. So if you watch the wrong things, you are going to fill your soul life with darkness. Now here in your spirit, you have the light of Christ. So if you are doing the wrong things with your body, not only with your eyes, of course, but in other ways as well, but Jesus says, just your eyes is enough. You know, you look upon a woman and you can commit adultery with her with your eyes. Hello? The standards of the kingdom, you see, are very much greater than the standards of the world. So you've got all that influence of the world, which appeals to your flesh, your self-life without God, stirred up by the devil. We'll come to him in a moment. But you've got those negative things because we live in a world that is negative. And the scripture talks about the spirit of this world, which is at work among the disobedient. So we would expect the people who do not belong to Jesus to be under the influence of the spirit of the world. But God does not expect his children who belong to the kingdom to belong to the spirit of the world or to be under the influence of the spirit of the world. So you've got this influence coming this way and you've got this influence coming that way. And where they meet, there is conflict. There is conflict because as a believer, you know what is right, but you're not necessarily doing what is right. Now, of course, that wouldn't be the case with anybody that belongs to Kingdom Faith Church, but I'm just telling you how you can understand what goes on in the lives of other Christians. But should the cap fit, then you know what to do. This, of course, is where we then have to repent. Now, we don't repent of the conflict. We repent of what caused the conflict, our own foolishness, our own disobedience, our own pride in thinking that we can live by standards that are opposed to the standards of God's kingdom. That if the kingdom is within us, we are devoted and dedicated to living by the standards of the kingdom. Now, we will all fail sometimes. And the great thing is that God's mercy is new every morning. So when we fail, we are forgiven. And we're not condemned. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. However, God does not expect us to be so foolish as to put ourselves in the way of that which is going to bring darkness into our lives. Hello? Because you see, if we are allowing that, this is going to be impaired or even prevented altogether from taking place in the way that God intends. So, here in our natural life, we have a battle. Now, the important thing is to keep on top of the battle. Whether you like it or not, for the rest of your days on earth, there will be a war taking place here. If you are foolish enough to allow darkness into your soul and you don't deal with it, what happens is that darkness then contaminates your spirit. Now that's serious. Because then you've got a problem that you feel you can't solve. It's as if you're in the grip of something. I don't mean that you're possessed by a demonic spirit, but something unclean, something ungodly, something that is not of God, of the Holy Spirit, has got hold of you in your spirit. So Paul says when he's writing to the Corinthians, I'll actually read it to you because I want you to understand that this is not my words, but his word. He says this in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, "Let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body," that's where it begins, "and spirit," that's where it ends up, "perfecting holiness out of reverence for God," out of the fear of God. So, we are not living in the fear of the Lord, really honoring Him, praising Him, and rejoicing in Him, if we allow this negativity to invade our soul and even affect our spirits. Are you all understanding me? Now, this is not a battle of the natural. It is a battle against the supernatural, against the supernatural forces that are at work, and therefore a battle that we undertake in the supernatural power of God, in the Holy Spirit. Now, most of you will be very familiar with Paul's words at the end of the letter to the Galatians in chapter 6. I'll just remind you of them. "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Now, the devil's schemes, he is the one who is at work in the spirit of the world. He is the one who is behind. There is a spiritual force or power behind all the things of darkness that want to influence your life. They're not just natural things. Behind those natural things, there are negative, evil forces which honor Satan and not Jesus. So listen carefully to what he's saying. "You can take your stand against the devil's schemes." God has a plan for your life. The devil has a scheme for your life. So it's a question of whether you're going to fulfill God's plan or submit to the devil's schemes. Hello? Okay. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood." Now, you can often think that it is, because a lot of the problems that are caused and that affect and influence your soul life are caused by people. When you think about it, most of your problems are people. But what you have to understand is the scripture says it's not really the people, it's the wrong spirits that are influencing those people and are working through those people. Those wrong influences can cause all kinds of negative things: jealousy, enmity, division, breaking of covenant, breaking of love. Anything that is negative is driven by a wrong spirit. A wrong spirit is therefore operating through other people. lying, deception, deceit, all kinds of negativity. We don't have to name them all, but the lust and the greed and everything. There's spiritual forces behind those things. Now, that doesn't mean that each person is not responsible. Of course they're responsible, just as you are responsible for making sure that this darkness does not influence and affect you, that you don't allow any negative things into your soul, and especially not into your spirit, but you take the shield of faith against those things. And we'll see how this works in a moment. So our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. Because the enemy, he has his forces in this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So the spiritual forces of evil that are at work in the world are working in concert with the spiritual forces of darkness are at work in the heavenlies, not in heaven. Scripture sees the heavenlies as a sort of a series of layers. The enemy is at work in the lowest layer of that, not in the highest heaven where God is. He got thrown out of there. But spiritual forces in heavenly places are really driving the spiritual forces that are at work in the world. So our battle is against those spiritual forces. Our battle isn't against people, but it's against the wrong things that influence those people. And what God has done, because we have received the kingdom and the kingdom is within us, is he's given us the authority over all the powers of the evil one. So you know that Jesus says this in Luke's gospel in chapter 10. And he's talking not just to the 12 here, he's talking to the greater number of disciples, the 72 that are sent out. They come back saying, wow, it's great, even the demons submit to us. He's sent them out with the authority of the kingdom. At that point, of course, they weren't filled with the Spirit, but they did have the authority of the kingdom, so the Spirit was working with them. And Jesus says to them, well, I'll read from verse 17, chapter 10. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Jesus' answer to that would really be, well, of course, what else would you expect? He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, signifying demonic powers, and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice in why they submit to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven, that you have the life of the kingdom of heaven within you, that God has given you that life and he's given you that authority. Now, this is the beginning of Holy Week, when we focus particularly on the cross and all that Jesus accomplished there. And Paul says this when he's writing to the Colossians, that he forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Everything in the natural level that's against us was nailed to the cross. Then, he says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, you'll find in any time of revival, there is great emphasis upon the blood of Jesus. Why? Because people living in revival understand that they have to overcome all the powers of the evil one. Because the enemy is opposed to revival, which is why most churches aren't living in revival. He is opposed to the best purposes of God. So we, as God's people, have to rise up in the authority that God has given us over every power of the evil one. We have to rise up and exercise that authority. Now, of course, if you don't believe you have the authority, you can't exercise it. But if you believe that you have it, you're a ninny if you don't use it. I'm not allowed to say thou fool, so I call you a ninny. If you have authority, use it, because if you don't use it, nothing good will come of it. So we are to use the authority that God has given us. But how does that happen? Well, Jesus explained to the disciples something very, very important. You remember there was the Roman centurion that came and his servant was sick. And Jesus offered to go to his home to heal him. And the centurion said, no, you don't need to come to my home. I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Speak the word only and my servant will be healed. Now that's real faith. All you got to do is speak your word and my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I haven't found such faith even among my disciples in the whole of Israel. Now, why did Jesus say that as a centurion? Because the centurion explained, for I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, do this, and he does it, so on. As a soldier, as an officer in the Roman army, he knew how to exercise authority. You command, and those under you have to obey. But everybody knew Jesus was a man of authority. Even the Pharisees who opposed him said, where do you get your authority from? Who gave you this authority? And the people said, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. So what was different about this centurion? He understood why Jesus had authority. He only had authority because he was under authority. He was under the authority of his Father. And Jesus says in John chapter 5, he says twice, he says, I can do nothing of myself. I do only what I see my Father doing. So, Jesus was so submitted to the authority of his Father that the authority of his Father, the authority of God, could be perfectly manifested through his life. So how did he heal? Get up and walk. That's a command spoken with authority. Be opened, blind eyes were opened, deaf ears were opened, dumb mouths could speak. You see, Jesus was exercising authority all the time. He never said please. At no time did Jesus ever say please. He just commanded because he is Lord. So, peace, be still! And the storm is still. That's authority. Lazarus, come out! And the dead are raised. That's authority. Jesus is exercising authority over the powers of death, over the powers of sickness, over the natural elements of the world. He had authority over all. And you are in him. And he says to you as a believer, I have given you authority over all the works of the devil. He doesn't say he's given you the authority to command the weather, although there are times when I've commanded the weather and miraculous things have happened. But that's been at times when there's been a need to command the weather. You can't just have a sunny day because you want to go for a picnic. Doesn't work like that. Although, we won't go into that. So, you see, we need to keep ourselves free of the negative so that we can exercise authority. Why? Because if we're living under the authority of Jesus, just as he lived under the authority of the Father, we are going to say no to all these negative things that want to come in and try to influence us. That's why Paul says in that passage in Ephesians 6 that we have the shield of faith with which we're able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. So it doesn't matter what comes at you from outside into your mind or attacks your body, you've got the shield of faith that say, no, no way. You're not going to come in. You're not going to influence me. I have the spiritual weapons, according to God, which are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, I can take authority and take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I don't have to receive any negative thought from the devil. I don't have to receive any negative word from another person. I take the shield of faith. I don't have to listen to any accusations from the enemy because I am freely forgiven and made whole by Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation for me, so I have the shield of faith which quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. Every single one. But what's the use of having a shield if you don't keep it in place? See, if you don't keep the shield of faith in place, boom, the arrows are going to hit you. And sadly, you sometimes come across Christians that have, for example, been affected by a spirit of offense. Something has happened, perhaps even by other Christians. Something has happened and they've taken offense. That is demonic. It's a wrong spirit. They have allowed something demonic into their lives. They're not possessed of a demon, you understand, but they have allowed something negative and demonic into their lives. Instead of taking the shield of faith, say, no, I will not take offense, I will forgive. Jesus says, you know, if you do not forgive your brother who you do see, then God is not going to forgive you. You've got to love your brother. If you don't love your brother, then you don't love God. If you don't love your brother who you do see, you cannot love God who you do not see. So when you take offense against a brother, you've stopped loving. You've stopped forgiving. You've stopped being merciful. You've actually are judging. You're breaking so many, I've told you this before, you break seven rules every time you take offense and refuse to forgive someone. You're seven times worse than the one who has offended you. It's all there in the Lord's orchard. So you're working through that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Good. So if you haven't come across that already, you will. So we take that shield of faith. But then, you see, the point is this with the enemy. If you're in a war, you've got to be on the offensive, not the defensive. You need to defend, but you need to go on the offense because you're never going to win the war. You're never going to win a battle if you don't go on the offense.
Right. Yeah.
So we've got to be shield. We've got to have the shield of faith in place as we go, but we've got to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And what does the Word of God say? You have authority over all the power of the evil one.
Yeah.
I have given you that authority. You have the kingdom, you have the rule and the reign of God within you. So you go on offense. You don't just wait for the enemy to fire more darts at you and you boom, 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 boom. Because that's when people say, oh, the devil's always having a go at me. Well, you're supposed to be having a go at him. And he's only having a go at you because you're not having a go at him. Because what the scripture says is if you submit yourself to God, put yourself under his authority, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Listen, while he's fleeing from you, he can't do anything to you.
Right.
He's running away.
Yeah.
Because you went on the offensive.
Right.
So there are so many things that go on in Christians' lives that should never have been allowed by the Christians.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when people come and they want help, they want some kind of counsel and so on. You can't help thinking, how on earth have you allowed this? Why have you allowed this to happen to you? Why didn't you rise up with faith, exercise your authority, and stop the whole thing?
Right.
It's because you just allow these negatives to come against you and to influence your soul life and often even get into your spirit that you're in the mess now and you come and you want somebody else to set you free. Well, you can pray with people and agree with them and you can see them come into a place of freedom. But they're only going to get back into bondage if they don't exercise the authority themselves. Now, there are all kinds of Christians I know who say, I don't like all this talk of spiritual warfare. I just want a nice, peaceful, loving relationship with God. Okay, that's what you want, that's what you'll have, but let me tell you, you will be under constant attack from the enemy. You can't opt out of the war. Right? In this spiritual battle, there are no conscientious objectors. Every Christian is called to arms. But you have to fight first for yourself, to keep yourself free from enemy activity and influence. You see, whether you like it or not, you have someone who is opposed to you. And it's no use saying, oh, well, I don't like this, I'm going to opt out. If you opt out, you've lost. The devil's won. That's exactly what he intended. So, you're not going to lose. But you're going to rise up in faith. You're going to overcome. God calls us to be overcomers. Right, now listen. We can have the language. Oh, we're living under an open heaven. Oh. Okay. Why don't we see more happening then? Oh, God has given me the victory. Yes, he has in our Lord Jesus Christ. But are you actually establishing that victory? You see, we can know the language but not see the reality. Why is that? Because we're in a battle. And you see, you can have the language of victory, which actually says, I have the victory. But you still have to fight the battle that gets you the victory, that establishes the victory in your life. It's rather like, you know, being in a soccer match. And you know before you play the match, you know you're going to win. You just know it. You just know that you know that you know you're going to win the match. But you still have to play the match. So you see, you can know you've got the victory. You can know that you're going to be victorious. You can know what the outcome will be because of what the Word of God says. You know the promises of God. But you still have to establish the victory. And that's where, you see, when we prayed earlier, it wasn't nearly noisy enough to establish victory. We said it in words, but now we've got to actually see that victory established. Because, you see, when you establish victory, you can't go to war with a feather. You go with a sword. Right? And you're cutting away at the enemy. There's aggressive, persevering, strong prayer in the Spirit. And you persevere in that prayer until you know you have the victory. It's easy to say you have the victory, but you've got to know the victory is secured. And then you see the evidence of that victory as the circumstances change. Are we getting this? Right. Now that's one level, and we're going to do some of this stuff in a few minutes. Is that right? Well, the doors are locked, so you can't get out. So, no, not really. Now, that's fine. But listen, you are part of the body of Christ in this place. God has a purpose for this body, for Kingdom Faith. And there are wonderful, wonderful promises, not just that members of the church have received from God, but over the years, we've had a number of visiting internationally respected prophetic and apostolic voices who have spoken amazing promises over what God is going to do through this church. Promises we've yet to see fulfilled. Multiplication, having wide impact in this nation and beyond, much wider than we do at present. Really being in the vanguard of the reformation that God wants to see in his church everywhere. So, if God has given us the promises, what do we do? Just sit down and wait for the promises to be fulfilled? No, because you see, the devil listens. The devil knows the Word of God better than any person in this room. He can quote the Word of God to anyone. He did to Jesus when he tempted him in the wilderness. The devil never misses a service on Sunday. You might, but the devil never misses a service. Never. He's always there to try to counteract whatever is spoken in truth. So he could be at work in here, even at this moment, saying, you don't have to listen to this. This isn't relevant for you. You don't have to do this. That's the devil. He's using some unclean, demonic, unbelieving spirit to try to influence you against the word of truth that you are hearing. So he never misses a service. He is always present whenever you pray to try to distract you, make you fall asleep, get you thinking about something else rather than concentrating on what the Lord is saying. He even wants to try to appear as an angel of light, speak to you and make you think it's the Lord when really it's him. And if you tested what he's saying against the word of God, you would realize that can't be the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't have to be afraid. See, the devil wants you to be afraid of him. But God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind, and he has given you authority over the devil. You're not under the devil. You're not to be under the devil's influence. You're not to allow him to influence you in any way. Now, just as he opposes you, so he opposes the promises that God has given to Kingdom Faith. So we as a body have to rise up against everything that the enemy wants to do to try to prevent the promises of God being fulfilled for this church and for the whole of the ministry of Kingdom Faith. We have a corporate responsibility to do that. That's why it's so important for us to be at the Victory in Prayer, the VIP meetings. And that's why they're called Victory in Prayer. Because that's when we as a body establishes the victory over the enemy for the future direction of the church. But the same is true also at another level, really. Every time we meet here on a Sunday, that as the body of Christ, we are submitting ourselves afresh to God every Sunday so that the will and the purpose of God can be outworked in our lives. And the enemy is not going to be allowed in any way to distract us. Now, you know, one of the things that people that don't like spiritual warfare say is, oh, well, you're always talking about the devil. You're always talking about it. When did you last hear me or anybody else give you a message like this? You see, we're not always talking about it. We're always talking about Jesus. We're always talking about what he has done. We're always talking about what is accomplished. And that's what we are talking about this morning. We're talking about the fact that he has disarmed the principalities and powers on the cross, that he has dealt a final death blow to Satan. You see, the devil is really on death row. The devil is on death row. When Jesus died on the cross, that was the final defeat of Satan. He will be thrown into the abyss after Jesus has come again. Right? That's when he will actually be executed. But he's now on death row. But being on death row, you know, people in prison can influence those out of prison. We hear of that in our newspapers regularly. So he is still trying to influence all the powers of darkness to do whatever they can to actually hinder and prevent Jesus coming again, or to hinder and prevent God's purpose among his people. But God has got his measure. Jesus has defeated him. Right? And what does he say? We have the authority to bind the strong man. We can bind the strong man. Then he cannot rob us. And you see, he is a thief who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why he wants to impact with all these negative things. He's trying to steal faith. He's trying to steal your peace. He's trying to steal your joy. Now, many things that afflict us in our bodies, in our emotions, we pray for healing, and we don't always see the healing, because sometimes we need to take authority over what is actually behind the sickness. Sickness is a living thing. And God did not give you that sickness. It is not His will for your life. So it's not just a question of praying for the healing, it's praying against the sickness. It's taking authority against it, which is why Jesus says, when you pray, speak to the mountain and command it to be moved. Command that thing to be moved out of your life. But he says, when you command it, you must believe in your heart that it will be moved. If you're just going through the motion, if you're just speaking the words, because you think it's the right thing to do, nothing is going to happen. But Jesus says, if you believe in your heart that you have that authority, you can speak to the mountain, you can speak to the disease, and it has to retreat. Now, you see, this is what I mean about the battle. Sometimes you can do that, and a miracle happens immediately, and you are set free, or somebody you're praying for is immediately set free. But at other times, it's not like that. At other times, you have to keep on in faith. You have to persevere in faith. You have to keep coming against the sickness. A doctor will take you through a course of treatment. He won't just give you perhaps one injection or one pill or one dose of antibiotic and say, there you are. He makes it clear, if you're on antibiotics, you finish the course. Right? Well, this is what we have to do spiritually. We have to finish the course. Now, not all disease is caused demonically by that. There are all kinds of natural causes. But of course, even those natural causes are stirred up by the enemy. For example, there can be a lot of disorders for overeating or undereating. Well, you know, there are spirits of greed that cause people to overeat. There are demonic spirits that cause anorexia, bulimia, and things like that. And that's why the people that are affected by things like that have allowed that negativity to get into their spirit if they're Christians. And that's why, you know, it doesn't matter what you say, they can't hear it, they can't receive it, because they're living in a kind of deception. And so, you know, that is going to require something more than just a prayer, because you've got to see them delivered from their deception. You've got to see them able to fight themselves and able to establish for themselves that victory. So just as the doctor says, finish the course of antibiotics or whatever it is. So we have to finish the course. It's not just a question of one prayer. No, we keep persevering until we see the victory. But what you say while that process is taking place is of great importance. It's no use saying the devil's got a hold of me, or you keep talking about the sickness. You're talking about your victory. You're talking about your healing. You're confessing the healing. Whether you have medical help or not, that doesn't matter. To have medical help isn't a sign of a lack of faith. It means that you are willing to use whatever resources are available to defeat the disease. We're not on an opposite side of the medical profession. We're all on the same side. We want to see disease defeated. So, I praise God for doctors. But we are all responsible to actually undertake the spiritual battle that goes on in our lives. And we are all corporately responsible for seeing the promises of God. Listen, if you see the promises of God fulfilled for this church, you will be in one of the most blessed churches anywhere in the world, let alone in this country. And God has spoken those things. Not through just one or two, but through a whole number of confirming voices, people that know nothing about us, nothing about what is happening here. People that have heard from God. So that's why you want to hang in here. You don't want to miss out on the action, because it's going to be great. But we don't just sit back and do nothing. We say, right, I'm fed up with waiting. I'm fed up with waiting to see the promises of God fulfilled, either in my life or in Kingdom Faith. So I'm going to rise up now in faith. I'm going to rise up and exercise my authority, and I'm not going to allow the devil to interrupt my life or to have any influence in stopping me living in God's best, and I'm not going to allow him to rob Kingdom Faith of all the blessing that God wants to pour into the life, because that is going to affect the lives of thousands of other people. So it's not just for us. It's for the influence that we can have in Horsham and the 25-mile radius, the nation and beyond. Much more influence than we have now. All we need is that release. But the devil doesn't want release. See, the devil wants to keep you down. The devil wants to keep you silent. Because you can't issue commands in silence. Can you imagine Sergeant Major coming onto the parade ground, standing there, and then saying to the soldiers, "Why didn't you come to attention? I thought it." No, they're waiting to hear the command. The devil's waiting to hear the command. All his demonic forces are waiting to hear the command. You don't speak it, they won't react. That's why Jesus says, speak to the mountain. Don't think about it. Don't just think you have victory. Speak to it. Because you're not acting in a place of faith until you do speak. So praise God. The life, your life, is going to be different from this morning on. And the life of Kingdom Faith is going to be different from now on. So we're going to pray now. And we're going to take authority. So we can only do this for a short while this morning. But what I want you to understand is that you need to undertake the battle day by day in your own life. Now, one of the things that you will need to do is to pray aggressively. That's the only way I can say it, because you're in a war. You see, you have to be nice to every person on the earth if you're a Christian. But you do not have to be nice to the devil, and you do not have to be nice to any demonic forces. And let me tell you, they can be operating where you least expect. But you can exercise authority over them. You do not have to allow the enemy to oppress you, to cause any depression, any spirit of heaviness. The Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. So the devil is determined to stop you rejoicing always. The Word of God says, give thanks in all circumstances. So the devil is determined to try to stop you from giving thanks in all circumstances. The Word of God says, pray continually, so the devil would do anything he can to stop you praying. Because he's not afraid of you until you pray. And when you pray with faith, he knows that he's about to receive his marching orders. When you pray with faith. So, praise God. Are you ready? Are you ready for some victory? Let's all stand then. Praise God. Sorry that's taken a little bit of time this morning, but we needed to get the whole picture. Right. Now, going to be interesting to hear what the decibels are like, because where faith is operating, the decibels rise. Okay, so let's first of all thank God.
thank the Lord. Thank him for Jesus. Thank him for the cross. Thank him for the blood that cleanses us from every sin, from all fear, every unbelief. Thank him that on the cross he disarmed the principalities and powers. He disarmed everything that comes against us. Thank him that he defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. That the enemy is now under his feet. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And because we live in him, the enemy is under our feet. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're standing on the rock of Jesus with the enemy under our feet. The enemy is a defeated foe. Praise God. So we can establish the victory of Jesus. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you that you have won the victory. And according to your word, you have given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, Lord, we bring our pots afresh to you today. We hold our pots under the waterfall of your love, of your grace, of your power, of all that you pour forth. We thank you that your kingdom is within us. We thank you, Lord, that it is the kingdom of heaven. And we thank you that from heaven you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. We thank you that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you have told us that we can stand firm against all the devices of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the shield of faith, which quenches all the fiery darts of the evil one. That you have given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And thank you that all the powers of deception have no answer to the truth. That when we proclaim the truth, when we live in the truth, all deception flees. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the authority to bind the strong man. Oh, hallelujah, so that he cannot rob us. He cannot steal from us. He cannot take from us what you give and what you want us to enjoy. And we bless you, we praise you, we honor you, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Sora taparia letuba. Come on, pray in the spirit now. Kora taparia letuba kadasita risandama. Paparia letuba kadasita risandaria letuba kadasituba. Paparia letuba kadasita risandaria letuba kadasituba. O paparia letuba kadasita risandaria letuba kadasita risandu. Opa sarabari alero bakalasita risandoma. Popare alero bakalasita risandoma. Okay, now let's just be still for a moment. Let's just be still. Keep your eyes closed, your focus on Jesus. Have you allowed any darkness in? Come on, let's be sure that we've cleansed ourselves of everything that contaminates spirit and body. Now, what the word says is you have to cleanse yourself. That means you have to come to the cleansing power of Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me for allowing that darkness of whatever it is, the darkness of offense, the darkness of lust or greed or selfish ambition, or jealousy, or violence, of deceit, any other negative. There may not be anybody here that's in the grip of alcohol or drugs, or any other kind of addiction, gambling or anything, but if there is, then it's time for you to take authority against those powers that have put you into such bondage. But first, you have to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for allowing that darkness to come into my life. When you have called me and made me to be a child of light. So I thank you now for the cleansing power of your blood. Now, some of you may need healing in your bodies, but actually what you've allowed is the sickness to get into your soul and even into your spirit. You sort of believe the sickness rather than believing God to overcome the sickness. So you talk about the sickness, you think about the sickness. It, you know, instead of thinking about and speaking of that which overcomes it. So, you know, if you've allowed that sickness that has attacked your body to get into your soul, say, Lord, forgive me. I want to draw on the resources of your spirit. And your spirit reminds me that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. That you have done on the cross not only everything to overcome the enemy, but to overcome sickness and infirmity. Nothing is impossible for you, and all things are possible for those who have faith in you. Just agree with the Lord that you're going to persevere in faith, whether that healing happens spontaneously, whether it happens over a period of time, but you're going to persevere in faith until the best purpose of God is established in your life. But your whole attitude changes. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I just do not have to put up with this. I'm not going to live under this. I'm not going to live with this. That is not who I am. I am one who lives in Christ. I am one in whom Christ lives by the power of the Spirit. I'm going to think as a believer, as a victor and not a victim. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we thank you now for the cleansing power of your blood all over this room. Thank you, Lord, that you're setting people free, that now there's no guilt, there's no condemnation for whatever has gone on in the past. All past failure is forgiven. Hallelujah. Thank you that we start with a clean sheet right at this moment, that you wash away every impurity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You give to each one of us who is praying now, you give to us a brand new beginning. And Lord, if we have failed to exercise the authority that you've given us over the enemy in the past, we thank you that that is now forgiven. And we thank you. We look to you now for a release of the spirit of faith in our lives, that we will pray with authority, we will pray with boldness, we will pray with perseverance, we will pray with victory over all the circumstances of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we will not live in fear or intimidation any longer, but we will live in confidence, we will live with boldness, and we will put the enemy to flight. So we submit ourselves afresh to you, spirit, soul, and body. We thank you that we are yours, that we belong to you, that we are your children. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us the gift of your kingdom. Thank you that the kingdom is within us. Thank you that the kingdom is among us. Thank you that we have the right to rule and reign over the circumstances of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that every time we do that, you are glorified. You are blessed. You are pleased that you love to see your children walking by faith. You love to see them exercising that authority. You love to see them walking in victory because your word says that you always lead us in your triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. So you love it when we follow you in your triumphant procession, and we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Okay, now, we have limited time now, but I just want you to take one thing in particular, whatever it is that is afflicting you personally. We'll come to other things in a moment, but something that's afflicting you personally, whether it's a physical disease, whether it's some other kind of problem or need, But you're going to come against that now in prayer. So in the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man. We bind any powers of darkness that have sought to afflict us, to come against us in any way, to hinder or prevent the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, the provision that he has wanted to give, or whatever the situation may be. We proclaim now the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We speak to these needs now in the name of Jesus, and we say, go! Come on, go! Go! Get out of my life! You do not belong! You do not belong! I am not defined by what you are trying to do to me. I am defined by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his life that is alive in me. So go, go, go in the name of Jesus through the power of his blood. Disease, go. Get out of my life. Get out of my life. Every sort of living thing that is any form of disease, get out of the body of every person in this room right now. Every cancer is cursed in the name of Jesus and dies. Every tumor is to shrivel in the name of Jesus. Come on, praise the Lord. Now, later you can have a time of prayer and you can come against any number of things, because you probably realize there's all a series of things where you need to exercise authority. But just remember, your fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. Love the people, right? But deal with the things that have afflicted those people, or the spirits that have operated through those people, or the things that have come against you because of those people. But love the people, but hate the enemy. Amen? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Now, just before we finish, we're going to just deal with one thing corporately as the body of Christ, as we're all here together. But our next victory in prayer, we'll just rehearse some of the promises God has spoken, and we're going to speak all those into being. We've got them all written down somewhere. Right. Now, are you ready? God has promised multiplication. Now, multiplication isn't adding just a few. Multiplication is exactly what it says, that there's going to be multiplication, not just so that we can be proud of having a big church, but because we want more and more people to come under the influence of the power of God, come into the kingdom, be filled with his spirit, and be exercising authority in the name of Jesus. So as the body of Christ here now, we're going to rise up in faith against every power of the enemy that has sought to actually divide and take people away instead of multiplying. Because, you know, the devil divides, the spirit unites. So let's just rise up now with faith. Are you ready? And corporately, in the name of Jesus, through the power of his blood and the victory of the cross, we take authority now over every power of the enemy that has sought to bring division, that has sought to take people out of God's best purposes, that has sought to subtract instead of to multiply. And we speak the words of multiplication over this church and over this whole ministry of Kingdom Faith. And we say, devil, you cannot prevent what God has established through his word. You will not hinder any longer. And from this point, we're going to see growth and more growth and more growth and multiplication. We're going to see a multitude of people coming into the kingdom of God. We're going to see people released in spirit, soul, and body. We're going to see great fruitfulness. We're going to see the kingdom of God advance in Horsham, in the 25-mile radius, in this nation and beyond. And there's nothing you can do, devil, to stop it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you. We are a victorious people. Praise your name. We are a militant people. Come on, we're a militant people. Porata paria lereba kada sitri sandama. Opa paria lereba kada sitri sandama. Opa papa kada zato bakala sitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah. Now listen, I was brought up as an Anglican. And in the old prayer book, every communion service, there was a prayer for the church. And the prayer began by saying, let us pray for the church militant here on earth. That was the Anglicans. Now, perhaps Anglicans don't always appear militant. But you see, when they wrote those prayers in the time of Reformation, after the Reformation, everybody perceived that's what the church is called to be, militant, victorious, fighting the battle and winning against the enemy. So we are a militant people. Hands up, all the militant ones. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We want to be that militant people here on earth. And we want to be the overcoming people that see your kingdom come and your will done on earth as in heaven. And all God's people shouted, amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.